The first thing to say is 800 is conventionally the beginning of the Iron Age. The Iron Age is really a non-event initially. And the reason is quite simple, that iron doesn't really replace bronze. Bronze stops coming in quantity, stops having the associations it seemed to have. Iron doesn't totally plug the gap. Here or in other areas, what happens instead is a period of fragmentation. These networks that I've been talking about are threatened, undermined, and you get a series of complete regional developments, different people doing their own thing, living in their own styles of settlement, largely self-sufficient, less evidence for objects moving over great distances. And it's only gradually that some of those local traditions coalesce into something you could actually call, well, tribe is not a great name, but it'll do as well as anything else. And one of the indications of this is the building of hill forts. Initially, ridiculous numbers of them, but gradually they thin out, and certain of them see a much more intense history of use than the others. Some of the early ones probably not inhabited, they're simply used occasionally. Some of the later ones, clearly big settlements, dominating a landscape, which in some cases may be devoid of other settlements, that everyone has moved into them. So there is political change. More worrying is the very large open settlements that in, for example, eastern England, where we don't have hill forts. They're probably richer than the rest. They probably belong to a more stable political structure. But the truth of the matter is, we know very little about them. Few of the settlements have been excavated. They're too big. They don't come up in development archaeology. A lot of the wealth comes from metal detecting. A lot of the sites have been seen from air photographs, and we don't fully understand them. That's, if you like, the eastern phenomenon. In the west, we have something that really anticipates, I guess, the settlement pattern right through the present day. Smaller settlements, lots of farms, closely spaced, many of them actually defended, but many of them, and that is something. It suggests a degree of autonomy rather than large-scale political organisation. And that gradually changes as we come into the period when the Romans are impacting on Britain, even before Caesar has arrived, because it's clear that elites in southern England are already in contact with the Roman world. They're deploying their contacts, they're aping Roman manners, they're receiving Roman imports. They may well be receiving tribute, and that only increases in the period between Caesar and the formal Roman invasion of 43. And one of the things that happens then is the formation of kingdoms. And we can use that term more happily than tribe, because the coins actually use the Celtic language word for king, and give the names of them, sometimes give the name of the people who are being ruled over. And we have anticipations there of the political structure of Roman Britain. So a big change, and it's not entirely coincidental that the fragmented society of hill forts pretty much disappears. In the areas where you have most contact with the continent, hill forts largely go out of use, and it's in the margins, in the north and west, that hill forts continue. And that's a very different form of organisation. And we know from classical writers that people living in the heartland, if you like, the commuter country, were actually exchanging with the Roman world. They were taking things from the periphery, including metals and slaves, slave raiding.